Welcome to the Unmuted Podcast from Los Angeles. I'm Jay Mariotti. It's the definitive award for a normal sports calendar, Sports Person of the Year. But this time, for reasons as overt as a 6-inch swab shoved into one's nasal cavity for 15 seconds, the title requires some creativity. Survivor of the Year, Pummeler of the Pandemic, Braveheart of the Bubble, Crusher of the COVID, Sultan of Swab. Whatever the description, it fits LeBron James like his snug black mama jersey. Others are carving their initials, of course, into this surreal year as well, including the mad scientist Bryson DeChambeau, the transformative carbs and weights android who gained 40 pounds, imposed his will in Savage Driver on Winged Foot, and won golf's U.S. Open. But there's something about his Hans and Franz act that feels freakish, at least until he proves otherwise at Augusta National in November, and doesn't that sound bizarre? And if you're looking to the NFL for 2020 memories, see Russell Wilson, first ask this after a Sunday when injuries were rampant throughout the league. Thanks to a coronavirus-shortened preseason, will anybody even stay healthy this year? As for LeBron, we know who he is and where he's likely headed in the coming weeks. Even in these wild and unrecognizable times, it's still very much his sports world, like him or loathe him. He doesn't have too much in his massive mountain range shoulders right now, does he? Parenting his namesake son through a weed-smoking drama from, what, 2,500 miles away? Fighting racial inequality and police brutality from a campus he can't leave? Chastising the media for dissing him in MVP voting? And, oh, positioning the Los Angeles Lakers for renewed glory. We have entered the championship phase of our medical marathon and global mind bleep. Basketball, hockey, golf, tennis. And clearly, James is among a sacred few separating themselves and leaving indelible sports footprints in the apocalyptic sand. But for him, this is about more than outlasting the competition inside the NBA bubble, winning a trophy, and throwing a virtual parade, assuming that is possible amid the wildfire threats and COVID cases of Southern California. Up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals after Anthony Davis's buzzer-beating three-pointer, Davis is now looking at his 9th NBA Finals in 10 seasons. Here was James after the latest victory over scrappy Denver.
You know, this is the furthest he's gotten in his career up until this point, and I'm just happy to be here with him to, you know, give any advice for him to lean on me or, you know, I mean, to be completely honest, shit, in the second half, I leaned on him, you know, and he brought us home, you know. So I just tried to set the example early on, and we leaned on him, especially in the fourth quarter, and he brought us home.
LeBron, you, Anthony came to L.A. asking for this pressure and asking for this kind of burden to be a great player in the playoffs. This is obviously a process that you've gone through. What is the challenge for an athlete both to ask for that, to seek that out, but then also to perform when that moment comes?
I don't know. I think for me personally, it's always been about the man in the arena. You know, the quote from Theodore Roosevelt, you know, it's about the guy that's in the arena that's, you know, that's gone through everything, the blood, the sweat, the tears. You know, and in our situation, the competition, but it's about the work that you put in and belief in yourself. It's not about the doubters or the naysayers or the people who's going to talk about you and try to slander you and put you down and bring you down every single day. It's not about them because they've never been in the arena. They don't understand. So, you know, AD, he know how special he is. And when he don't, I'll be the first one to tell him how special he is. And, you know, he wanted to be here. I'm happy he wanted to be here, you know, because if he didn't, we wouldn't have a moment like tonight. So that's what it's all about. But, you know, you put that pressure on yourself when you don't really care about what other people think, because what other people think, it doesn't really matter because they don't understand. Anybody can talk from outside, but if they got into the ring or they got into the arena, probably 10 times out of 10, they shit the pants.
Yep, that's what the man said. But bigger than all of that, LeBron is accomplishing precisely what 2020 needed from an iconic athlete.
This is the Pandemic Proof Podcast with Jay Mariotti, an actual journalist who covered the Bay Area earthquake long after a World Series was postponed and on 9/11 successfully demanded to keep hosting his national radio show when an advertising boss wanted to switch to network programming. Did you really think Jay ever would stick to sports during a global health crisis? Now, here's Jay Mariotti.
He is the consummate badass warrior, promoting Black Lives Matter, pushing Americans to vote against President Trump, and subduing all postseason comers while maintaining his mental equilibrium in restrictive confinement. LeBron is pushing 36 and he's finishing his 17th year in the league, yet James is the one still standing after Giannis Antetokounmpo faded, Kawhi Leonard choked, Paul George battled demons, and James Harden tripped on his beard once again. LeBron never will be Michael Jordan, as the Last Dance docuseries reaffirmed, but I doubt Jordan would have lasted in a bubble, even with daily opportunities to golf and gamble. He would not have dealt with that well. Nor would Jordan, at the time, have made any impact whatsoever as an activist. To refer to James as multi-relevant this year is grossly understating his impact. A day doesn't pass without him making a headline, and over the weekend he made at least three. He ripped the judicial system, and rightfully so, for allowing the actress Lori Loughlin and her husband to serve sentences in low-security prisons. Yes, yoga and Pilates for Aunt Becky, despite paying $500,000 in bribes in that college admissions scandal. Noting that a judge gave Loughlin a slammer of her choice, James responded on Instagram with five smiling, crying emojis. Quote, "Of her what? I'm laughing because sometimes you have to just stop from crying. Don't make no damn sense to me. We just want the same treatment if committed of same crime. That's all." I'm reading this verbatim. Is that asking for too much? Let me guess. It is, huh? Yeah, I know. We'll just keep pushing forward and not expecting the handouts. Strong, black, and powerful. End quote. Yeah, white privilege at work, wouldn't you say? I agree. Then James made news as a father. He didn't want his three kids joining him and his wife in the bubble this month because, in his words, quote, "My kids are adventurous and they love to do so much stuff. There's nothing to do here," end quote. So that left 15-year-old Bronny James, the high school hoops sensation, to be, adventurous here in California. He posted a video of himself smoking a blunt. A clip that went viral before it was removed from his Instagram account. While hardly a capital crime, this is a distressing episode for LeBron, who hasn't seen his children since Father's Day and admitted to, quote, numerous nights and days thinking about leaving the bubble, unquote. Bronny's full name, as you know, is LeBron James Jr. He has 5.6 million followers on Instagram, 4.3 million on TikTok. His dad has talked openly about playing at least one NBA season with his son. So you think there isn't concern right now about the fishbowl that awaits Bronny and how he's handling it? This is a father-son talk best done in person, not on a Zoom call. But in the middle of the playoffs, what is a dad supposed to do? Nor can LeBron blame the evils of social media. After all, he is the king of networking. Nor can he do anything but look in the mirror and recall his own teenaged self. In his book, Shooting Stars, LeBron admitted to smoking marijuana as a high school junior. With co-author Buzz Bissinger, James wrote, quote, "We had become big-headed jerks, me in particular, and we are to blame for that. But so are adults who treated us that way and then sat back and smugly watched the self-destruction, end quote. This is fascinating because LeBron learned back then about the scarcity of trust in this world, and that's what he seemed to convey when he tweeted this as his son was being crucified on social media about his blunt. Quote, exactly why I have my closed circle, cause as soon as you try to expand to a square, the people who you thought was in your corner as, he meant, are the exact opposite. Hashtag my thoughts, end quote. LeBron, please keep in mind, this is important, that James in almost two decades in the high-profile public eye has avoided scandal. It's miraculous. Hey, kids, try weed. LeBron will deal with it. It was his rant about the MVP vote, though, that suggests that James is so amped to prove a point that he can't possibly lose what would be his fourth championship. Not only did Antetokounmpo win the award for the second consecutive year, he won in a landslide, an outcome that looks dubious after his latest playoff bust, as James appears title-bound. After winning MVP honors four times between 2009 and 2013, James hasn't won since. It's 2020. He also has lost six times in nine NBA Finals appearances, always an eyesore, especially when compared to Jordan's 6-0 mark. Now, Giannis is the beloved freak after Kawhi became the darling of June. So, when asked about the vote, LeBron let loose with a torrent of P words. Listen up.
Piss me off. That's my true answer. It pissed me off because out of 101 votes, I got 16 first place votes. That's what pissed me off more than anything. You know, not saying that you know, the winner wasn't deserving of the MVP, but that pissed me off. And I finished second a lot in my career, either from a championship. And now four times as the MVP, you know, like I said, I never came into this league saying let me be an MVP or you know, be a champion. I've always said I just want to get better and better every single day, and those things that take care of yourself. There's some things that's just out of my hand, and some things you can't control. But it pissed me off.
Not finished. James then targeted the voters, 100 media members worldwide, and one fan representative. It's a very strange system for such an important honor.
I don't know. I'm not going to sit up here and talk about what the criteria should be or what it is. It's changed over the years since I've gotten to the league. I know that. You know. It's just changed. It's changed a lot. You know, sometimes it's, you know, the best player on the best team. Sometimes it's the guy with the best season statistically. Sometimes it's changed over the course of my career. I mean, you know, you don't know.
But Antetokounmpo did not have a hell of a postseason. Nor did the Milwaukee Bucks, who never found their stride in the bubble and wilted after boycotting a game to protest the police shooting of Jacob Blake. The Lakers also were among teams that subsequently boycotted games, but thanks to James' leadership and considerable activism experience, they maintained clear focus. It never has made any sense to me that MVP awards, which are supposed to pinpoint the best players in their leagues in a given year, are based entirely on regular seasons. James is in the process of making a mockery of the method. Here's Anthony Davis, the second best player remaining in the bubble, with apologies to Jimmy Butler.
He locks in. I mean, he goes into, you know, a different mode. I mean, he's already in that mode, you know, regardless, you know, because we're trying to win a ring. But and I know he'd rather, you know, win a ring than win a champ, than the MVP award. But, you know, it definitely, you know, sparks him, you know, and like he got a chip on his shoulder, like he got something to prove. I mean, so we see it, and you know, he knows it, and the team knows it, and we know that if we know he's gonna show it.
Some championships this year should be affixed with an asterisk, such as in Major League Baseball, which never should have attempted its COVID-ravaged farce of a shotgun season, and college football, which persists in attempting a disjointed campaign as the virus batters campuses and at least one big-time coach, Florida State's Mike Norvell. But anybody who tries to downgrade LeBron's would-be title is an asterisk. Asterisk. ASS. The same applies to Naomi Osaka, who took over women's tennis at the U.S. Open while wearing the names of shooting victims on her masks. And the team that survives the NHL igloo up north, give them props. Maybe the surprising Dallas Stars. DeChambeau, until a scandal proves otherwise, the Hulk is taking over golf with a counterintuitive mixture of science, protein shakes, painstaking hard work, and just enough nuances, such as consistent fairway landings and a short game. He vowed last year to change his body and his swing, but who knew he would change the entire sport? Asked on Friday if his ethos was big enough to overcome the winged foot carnage, he invoked the name of who? Tiger Woods, who missed the cut for the eighth time in his last 15 majors in a crash that suggests Augusta 2019 will be Tiger's famous final scene. Said DeChambeau, that's a question for the gods. That's a question for God. I mean, Tiger has been able to do something like that many times before, so I think there is something, but human scientific research does not say that there's anything about that, end quote. Here he was, age 27, after the first of, we presume, a few major titles.
Chills. Not through my, just through my body, it was just chills. Just that I had done something pretty special. Worked my whole entire life for this, and to be the 120th U.S. Open champion, as well as, it's something that I can't fully explain yet, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around. But again, I got to thank the USGA for all their hard work during these difficult times. You know, there's a lot of people struggling out there right now, and I'm going to do my best through my charity, my foundation, to give back and do as much possible for the world around me. Because you know, golf isn't the end all be all. We've got a lot of people out there that are struggling. I want to do more work for them. I'm going to definitely do that coming in the future.
Awesome. A few.
This is a man who vows to live to 130. Is he human? For his next trick, he says he's going to try a 48-inch driver.
I don't know. I'm not going to get. I'm not going to sit up here and talk about what the criteria should be or what it is. It's changed over the years since I've gotten to the league. I know that. You know, it's just changed. It's changed a lot. You know, sometimes it's, you know, the best player on the best team. Sometimes it's the guy with the best season statistically. It's changed over the course of my career. I mean, you know, you don't know.
In a signature 2020 scene, DeChambeau stopped on his way to the trophy ceremony to speak to his family on a big screen Zoom call.
There we are.
I did it.
Good job. Great job.
That's his mom and dad.
Just walk around.
Jan and John.
Really late, though. you're kind of horizontal. There we go.
There we go. Hey, love you, buddy. Oh,
I love
man.
You guys
we
so
were
much.
Rianne, Rick are here. Hi. Hey, Bryson. Hey, nice job.
Thank you. Oh, what's awesome. Up, Rick? How are you?
Hey,
Byron, what's up?
All right, friend.
Thank you. Thanks.
And then Dad. Hi, son.
Hey, Dad. I love you.
There, buddy.
I don't know what else to say. I'm so surprised
I'm
right
so
now.
I'm proud of you.
Thank
we're
you.
Gonna see you in a few days.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. Great job. Everything came together. You stood your court right way. I love you. Good job.
Y'all are the best. Thank you for sacrificing everything for me.
Oh, we love you. We love you, buddy, so much. We're going to open up a bottle of champagne.
We are too. We are too.
Clearly, golf never has seen anybody like him, but then we've never seen any year like 2020, so Bryson 2020 fit right together. The NFL cannot afford to lose stars such as Nick Bosa and Saquon Barkley to serious injuries in a limping procession that included Christian McCaffrey and Jimmy Garoppolo. The 49ers' season might have been sabotaged by the evil turf at MetLife Stadium, where Coach Kyle Shanahan blamed a new service that was sticky, that was his word, knowing that his team returns to the same field next weekend to play the Giants. How does the NFL allow this?
As far as the feeling that was on the sidelines, it's, you know, I know that's as many knee injuries and ankle stuff and people getting caught on a turf as I've ever been a part of. From what I saw, the other team did too. I know our players talked about it the entire game, just how sticky the turf was, and I think that was the first time people played on it, I think. But yeah, it was something our guys were concerned about right away, and the results definitely made that a lot stronger. And unfortunately, it's a place we got to go back to next week.
Quarterbacks continue to rule the Monday morning Zoom conversations, water coolers being long gone. And did you see that game Sunday night? Goes to the wire, Russell Wilson, 5 touchdown passes, Cam Newton, 1 play, 3 seconds left, inside the 5-yard line. They line up, this is Josh McDaniels of the Patriots, lines up everybody in the line of scrimmage, so Seattle knows exactly what is going to happen. Cam Newton is going to be mobile, something Tom Brady never was, and run the football, and he was stopped. Stopped, called dumb play, maybe as dumb, although in a different circumstance, as the Seahawks' decision to let Russell Wilson throw the football in the Super Bowl, intercepted by Malcolm Butler, instead of handing it to Marshawn Lynch. It's amazing how these two teams have these games come down to the wire so often, and the Patriots did have an advantage. Seattle didn't have the 12th man. Nobody in the stands, and Seattle wins a fabulous game. We've had some good NFL games. Anyway, it's about QBs, and because Cam did not get it done, all of New England said, well, we kind of still miss Tom Brady. Had he gotten it done, it would have been, who cares about Tom Brady? Tom Brady, still making mistakes in Tampa, played better. Bucks win. Newton played fairly well. Great final drive, but didn't complete it in the end. I think they should have thrown the football. Just a Mariotti, long Mariotti aside. Patrick Mahomes rallied the Chiefs again after nearly meeting his match in the Chargers defense and rookie quarterback Justin Herbert. Aaron Rodgers avenging turmoil to resume his MVP sheen. And the likes of Josh Allen, Jared Goff, and Ryan Tannehill slinging TD passes galore. We saw Wilson dominate the Patriots' D after declaring himself the league's best QB. Quote, without a doubt, unquote, Bill Belichick agreed, saying he, quote, doesn't really see anybody better, end quote, in a dig at Brady, who isn't even in the conversation anymore and might never be again. And the fans? Little by little, they're starting to return in increments. Still not the sensible approach, but unstoppable in a sports world that, as I've said and written repeatedly, still treats COVID like the common flu. In Dallas, 21,000 humans shrieked in joy and spread those saliva droplets as the Cowboys staged an improbable comeback victory. At least Jerry Jones wore a mask. In Kansas City, a Chiefs fan tested positive after attending the season opener, forcing everybody who sat near him to quarantine. In Cleveland, only 6,000 fans were allowed, but that didn't stop several from engaging in fisticuffs in a town that might not know what the coronavirus is. The league is weird enough this year. Green Bay players trying Lambo leaps with no fans to catch them. Fake boos piped in over the speakers in Philadelphia, naturally. To complicate matters with sick patients in the hospital. At this stage, though, 2020 belongs to LeBron, which is astonishing, recalling how he looked washed last season, to use his media mocking term. When the NBA season was halted on March 11 and didn't resume until July, he could have dismissed the bubble as an absurd aberration and checked out. Instead, the King reinvented himself as Prince of the Pandemic. If the Lakers go on to play Butler in the Miami Heat, an intriguing matchup of LeBron's current and former teams, and Pat Riley's former and current teams, by the way, it will not be easy. Unlike, say, the dissension-torn L.A. Clippers, the Heat have created a closer bond inside the bubble. In taking a 2-1 lead in the Eastern Finals, they have rattled the Celtics into a screaming, chair-throwing scene in their locker room and returned to win twice from double-digit deficits. Here was Butler, who finally seems to have found his happy place in NBA life.
We believe in one another. We know what we're capable of. And I think that's the part that's so fun when we're out there hooping. It's, yeah, we get down at times, but we never hang our heads because we know if we play the right way, we give ourselves a chance to win. So with these group of guys, man, it's always smiles out there on the court.
The Heat will win titles in the future, especially if Antetokounmpo takes his talents to South Beach. But nobody can stop LeBron James when he is sensing a chance to finish first again, not second, in a career that often has been more grating than rewarding. Plenty of people in this country aren't watching sports glued to news channels weeks before the most important and potentially poisonous election ever, even as athletes bust through the gloom to invent new ways to showcase preeminence. But if there's one sports figure who is polarizing enough to draw an audience in October, it is the Braveheart of the bubble, LeBron James. That title sticks. They say audio reading is the new way to consume the written word. Therefore, here is my latest column from the Barrett Sports Media site titled, Big Ten Reversal is Big Loss for America. To be clear, normalcy is not returning to American life just because the Big Ten is playing football. No, this is another plunge into the abnormal and grotesque, allowing a sitting president to use college athletes as pawns in his reelection bid, cheered on by coaches and parents who continue to treat the coronavirus like, yes, the common flu. I can't say it enough. The 14 university presidents were supposed to remain above the messy fray and continue to support health over profits and politics. Instead, these purported leaders of higher academia buckled, abruptly reversing course and announcing the season will start the weekend of October the 24th in the Big Ten. This flip-flop comes only 5 weeks after their common-sense decision to postpone the season. But when President Trump is cursing, TV networks are lobbying, parents are protesting at conference headquarters, Nebraska players are filing a lawsuit, and Jim Harbaugh is leading a march on the Michigan campus, it's funny how strength turns to mush in those ivory towers. Now, Trump is viewed as a hero in at least 3 battleground states and Big Ten country. Remember this if he is reelected, a leverage play that will have scholars and historians wincing decades from now. He tweeted, quote, great news, Big Ten football is back, all teams to participate. Thank you to the players, coaches, parents, and all school representatives. Have a fantastic season. It is my great honor to have helped, end quote, the president. I'm not sure how much he helped, but it's just about perception, folks, not reality. All while college campuses in the Big Ten and beyond are ravaged by COVID cases. It stands to reason that football players, regardless of rapid response tests that now can be administered daily, will remain carriers capable of triggering team outbreaks while exposed to reckless students also spreading the virus on campuses. The conference vows to be responsible with daily antigen tests for athletes, coaches, and staff starting September 30. guidelines established by positivity rates within teams and campus communities could force disruptions of seasons. And if a player does test positive for COVID, he cannot play in a game for at least 21 days or so, they say. In theory, it sounds super optimistic, to paraphrase the cool kids. But with so much money at stake here, let's be real, $4 billion, you know, counting the riches of a college football playoff that now involves four of the Power Five conferences, and maybe five before it is all said and done, can these revenue-generating machines be trusted with transparency about test results? Only minutes before the Big Ten news arrived, I finished a column that asked if anybody is concerned about the plight of athletes amid these existential demands of 2020. Baseball players, you know, coughing in the smoke of Seattle last week, and COVID everywhere, and, you know, injuries, and anybody care about the athlete? Part of it is worth repeating right here, and I'm going to do that column, so the absurdity of it all can be seen on two different platforms. Imagine being a college football player, unpaid and impressionable, having to trust power freaks who run the biggest programs and university presidents thirsting to reap the financial bonanzas. Imagine trusting all of those people. I don't. Ed Ogeron, coach of defending national champ LSU, isn't considering the long-range health dangers that accompany COVID. Sounding uninformed and almost diabolical, Ogeron actually hopes his team achieves herd immunity. Though he clearly doesn't understand what that may or may not mean, I don't think anybody knows really what that means, herd immunity, but Dr. Ed's going to try. Quote, not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. I think that hopefully they won't catch it again, and hopefully they're not out for games. Oh, my God. This is Ed Ogeron, Coach O, Dr. Ed, Dr. O. Quote, hopefully that once you catch it, you don't get it again. I'm not a doctor. Oh, my God. Ed Ogeron. End quote. Oh, and they're letting, what, 25,000 in the stands at LSU? Let's just have a COVID party. Let's have a COVID party in the parking lot before the game. Let's have one after the game. Baton Rouge. My God. Why is he trying to play a doctor? You know how many college football coaches are playing hocus pocus with players' lives and their loved ones and the students they associate with and party with on COVID-ravaged campuses? The Big Ten had been one of the two wise conferences not playing, yet there were those presidents voting to return in October. Kids be damned. The celebrations are ongoing. Risks be damned. Among the first to tweet was Jim Harbaugh, a worldly guy who should know better. Great news today, tweeted the Michigan coach. Over the past month, I could sense the anticipation from our players and coaches, and I'm thrilled on their behalf that they will have a chance to play a 2020 season. Stay positive, test negative. Let's play football. Did he come up with that? No, his brother John did, and then Jim ripped him off. John being the more accomplished coach of the two. Super Bowl champion. Go Blue! And then the Michigan State linebacker, Antoine Simmons, said, we're excited. We can't wait to get started. That would be on a campus where students are in a 14-day quarantine due to, quote, an alarming surge, end quote, in COVID cases. Victory for MSU. As it is, Trump is using the NFL's early ratings up and downs, some up, some down, to his political advantage, claiming viewers are turned off to Black Lives Matter protests during the Star Spangled Banner. And by the way, on Sunday, I didn't see many of those televised. Did you remember Colin Kaepernick? The end of his crusade. It just sort of, everybody stopped watching it because TV wasn't showing it. This is coming from the NFL office. Are the black players going to maybe boycott a game? Stay tuned. The Big Ten flip-flop gives Trump more ammunition in key states such as Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Imagine if football determines the next 4 years in this country, and it might. Ain't that America for you and me? That was from a Midwestern boy, John Mellencamp. As for the college football playoff, ESPN executives are doing their own dancing. They are armed now with a more legitimate playoff system that includes all but the Pac-12, which mostly sucks at football anyway. The SEC, ACC, Big 12, and Big 10 are all in despite numerous game postponements and COVID cases. And even if the virus guts hundreds or even thousands of players, you sense that Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Ohio State will trot out intramural teams to have a shot at a championship and all of that money in January. The Big Ten is aiming at 9 games in 9 weeks. Really? You're going to squeeze all this in? What if you have a COVID outbreak? This just reeks. Conference title game December 19, yeah. But if you're waiting for the Pac-12 to join the party, it's not happening, at least yet. Maybe it will. If you've noticed, we've been dealing out here in the West Coast with wildfires. The smoke is gone in most places, but all of that takes precedence over football games, and you could have a wildfire at any time this time of the year out here. Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, outlined all of that. But he also said, quote, "We're hopeful that our new daily testing capability can help satisfy public health official approvals in California and Oregon to begin contact practice and competition," end quote. Well, California Governor Gavin Newsom said, "Larry, your guys can practice." But the presidents are still being cautious. I applaud them for that. I'm pleased to say I live in Pac-12 country where the skies might have been orange and ashen, but the collective conscience has been clear, at least until the president's vote this week. Now it's time for The Buzz, our regular deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. Chris, when you look back at 2020 in sports, I'm sure LeBron James and Bryson DeChambeau will be foremost in your mind. You are part of the Lakers media coverage in L.A. You're also a golfing aficionado. Break down LeBron and Bryson.
Actually, Jay, there's going to be three names in my mind. Jordan, LeBron, and Bryson. Simply because yesterday, which was an incredibly insane day, not just in sports, but in L.A. sports specifically, with the Rams and then a huge Lakers game and a huge game winner by A.D. And I literally at times thought, I remember the spring when I waited all week for The Last Dance, and that was the only thing going on amidst horrible news every other single day. But The Last Dance was that escape. Think about where we were, and think about then what we enjoyed yesterday and a whole sports weekend. It was also my birthday weekend. My birthday was Saturday, Jay, so I didn't watch a lot of U.S. Open, especially with Tiger not making the cut. I decided to try to fit in. I ended up fitting in about 27 holes on Saturday. And the reason I bring that up is I hate Bryson DeChambeau. I don't like him. I think he's a jerk. I think he's a phony. I don't like his swing. Yes, he crushes the ball. And most of the time, his short game is god-awful. So I've never been a big fan. But you know what? I got to hand it to him. Watching the U.S. Open on Thursday and Friday, I was texting with friends that I golf with and coworkers, and I said, why am I watching this? This is not fun to watch. These guys are actually, it looks worse than watching me putt on a normal course. Putts were all over the place. It was like putting on glass the first day until everyone kind of got the handle of it. I'm not a big wing foot guy. So I wasn't a big U.S. Open person this weekend. I got to hand it to BDC. He won at a place that's really a nightmare of a golf course. As for LeBron, you can feel it, right? Destiny has come in. And last night was that. If the Nuggets win that game, those scrappy Nuggets, they have done this before. They're the Cinderella story of the playoffs. Tides change. Instead, AD makes a miraculous shot. That, I think, will pretty much do them in, the Nuggets. And unless the Miami Heat can somehow stop LeBron and AD, I just don't see it happening. I think destiny is in the cards for the Lakers. And for LeBron James, maybe there will be an asterisk on it, but you know what? His legacy in Los Angeles will be forever. Simply, I think, because of how 2020 ended up being. Kobe Bryant, the pandemic, and now this, that cements LeBron's name in Lakers history. It does.
And Chris, with so much different and empty about the NFL this year, the league certainly does not need a flurry of key injuries. But wasn't this bound to happen when COVID canceled preseason games and minimized the work the teams could do in August?
Right. And this is why, and I believe I said it back then, why are we canceling preseason games? listen, they had to get safety protocols in place, and by the test results, it's obviously working very, very well in the NFL, despite travel, despite the COVID monster waiting at stadiums, despite everybody who said, oh my God, why are we playing the NFL? Well, we're playing the NFL because it's amazing, and there's going to be injuries. There's going to be injuries. People said that a lot of players that were on practice squads or maybe just couldn't find a team were going to end up getting to play this year because that COVID monster was going to get them. Well, the COVID monster looks to not be wanting to partake in football, much like I guess it doesn't partake at Walmart or Target. It only partakes at bars, nail salons. CJ, you're getting me all fired up again. But I think a lot of players are going to get to play this year because there's going to be a lot of injuries. Guys didn't train the same way. They didn't have the same offseason programs. To your point, no preseason games. Training camps were a little different. So it's going to be interesting to see. But nonetheless, it's great to watch the NFL. It was great to watch Cam Newton. I really thought Cam Newton was going to pull it off last night. And how great would that have been that he pulled off a Sunday night comeback just like Tom Brady would have in recent years? I don't know why Cam ran that last play. The offensive line picked up the block on the left side of the line, and he could have easily rolled out and went right into the end zone. Instead, he did sort of this weird hiccup. But still, impressive by Cam, and it's a great story. So that's why we play, Jay.
And Chris, college football. One word question. Why?
I'll transfer you back to my NFL answer, which is why not? We know why. Money. That's the why of all of it. Okay, that's why the Big Ten's jumping back in, and now the Pac-12 realizes, Pac-12 has already been a disaster because USC hasn't been good in a long time, and the Pac-12 needs USC to be good to be relevant, okay? But they also realize if they don't play this year, you might as well just kiss the Pac-12 goodbye. So that's why. Money is number one. Number two, everyone's watching football getting played in the NFL. Football in high school has been getting played for a while in some cities and towns. So what are we going to do? Again, we have to go to the market. A lot of us are going to restaurants. People are going to work. You go to a gas station. I often think as I'm pumping gas, the gas station might be the worst place to be during a pandemic. But we have to get gas. So you wear your mask. You try to not put your hand on the pump, but then you douse yourself in hand sanitizer afterwards. You'll wipe down your keys or anything else you may have touched between then. It is what it is. So college football is going to get played. And the world will keep spinning, Jay.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
And now a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too chill for political activism. Take it away, Jay.
Here is yet another example of why I was embarrassed to work in Chicago sports media. Always buffoonish, such as the day he threw a rowdy on-air party celebrating the death of Blackhawks owner Bill Wirtz, Dan McNeil revealed himself nationally as an AARP rockhead when he tweeted this career killer during Monday Night Football last week about ESPN's Maria Taylor. Quote, NFL sideline reporter or a host for the AVN annual awards presentation. Those would be porn awards. McNeil promptly was dismissed, not by his immediate boss at 670 The Score, but by parent company Entercom. Wrote market manager Rachel Williams in quote, for each one of us, our words have power. For our brands and on-air personalities, that is amplified and brings increased responsibility in how we choose to use our voices. Last night's tweet and its degrading and humiliating tone to a fellow female broadcaster was unacceptable. End quote. I agree wholeheartedly. Chicago is the number three market only in audience size. I spent 17 years there. In terms of sports media competence, prestige, and impact, it might be market number 33. Sports radio ratings never should crater in such a passionate sports town. But they have, making a ding-dong like Danny McNeil desperate enough for attention to deal in porn references. Taylor shouldn't have bothered responding, but she did. Quote, well, Danny, dearest, if you'd like to continue making sexist comments about me, please bring your misogyny to the NBA Countdown doubleheader I'll be hosting tomorrow night. Hey, ladies, remember you can wear whatever you feel confident in, end quote. I wish that was the end of the Maria Taylor story. because I felt bad for her, and I think McNeil deserves to be out of radio forever, and he will be. But then the tables turned on Maria Taylor. Deserving of all the moral support she received last week, Taylor also must accept criticism when she makes a glaring mistake. She omitted Laker star Anthony Davis, this looks especially bad today after his game winner, from her all-NBA ballot, the only one of 100 voters not to place him on the first or second teams. And rather than simply acknowledging the oversight and moving on, she grew defensive. She tweeted, and I'm quoting, "Wow, it's been a long week, but if everybody would like to take away my voter privileges because of a clear mistake, please feel free," end quote. Sarcasm. Well, that led Fox Sports Radio host Doug Gottlieb to ask why she even had a vote, to which the former Georgia Bulldog responded, quote, "Because I played basketball. I cover the league and I deserve everything I've ever worked hard for," end quote, Maria Taylor. All of which just keeps the social media birds chirping at her, which can be a long and vicious cycle. This has been a long and vicious year, hasn't it? That's our show. Thanks to Mac Miller, no longer with us, for his musical contribution in the show Open. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anybody mute you in life. 1, 2, 3.